Okay, we're picking up six lines from the bottom of Zion Amud Beis. We're at the Gemara where it starts saying Gufa. So we're going back to the previous topic. Amar of Chista. What does Rav Chista say? Nods Kana Rishusa Yachid. If someone stuck a pole into the ground, he dug it in, and then it was in a Rishusa Yachid, it was in a private domain. Vizarak Venachal Gabav. And then someone threw on top of that pole an object, and it landed on top of the pole. So then what happens? Afilu gava amma. Even if this pole is a hajj namas, we saw that one would be chayav, someone's be chayav on Shabbos, because meish reshus yachid ol rakia. So we're assuming you threw it from reshus rabim, and you threw it from reshus rabim, and now it lands on top of this, which would be din kirshus hayachid. So now, we assume that the top of the pole over here is not four tefachim wide. So if that's the case, that the Gemara is assuming that you don't need a hanacha, you don't need to rest the item on an area of Dalat Adal Tfachim, which we assumed before, most people did hold of that. So now the Gemara suggests the following. Lamer of Chista Damar Karebi, maybe Rav Chista holds like Rebbe, who also seems to assume that we don't need Dalat Adal. Where do I see this from Rebbe? Says the Gemara, the sign of the Braisa tells us, Zarak Venachal Gabi Ziz Kolshu, if someone threw an object from the Rosh Hashanah and it landed on this Ziz, this we said is like this thing that sticks out from the Rosh Hashanah Rishus HaRabim. So we're assuming. So usually it is six from Rishus HaRabim. Over here, Rashi points out we must be assuming that this was standing in the Rishus HaYachid over here, right? So because it was in Chalsas Rishus HaRabim, the Rishus HaYachid. Rashi says because it's in the Rishus HaYachid. So again, so you threw it from Rishus HaRabim into this protrusion that was out of the Rishus HaYachid. So what's the halacha? Rebbe says Mechayev Chachamim Pojim. Rebbe says Chachamim is going to be Chayev. The Chachamim say that you are Pater. So now the Gemara is assuming. Usually we don't read the parenthesis, but the Rebbe just also clarify this. Then so it says Amalob. According to Rebbe, we see that this is not a 4x4 tefachim, this area in the Rishus HaYachid, yet Rebbe still holds, you would be chayev over here. As opposed to Chachamim say that you're potter, so they would assume you don't need dalal dalal. This is what we're assuming the Gemara is. Now turning on to the next. Amud says the Gemara. Amar Abaye says, Rishus HaYachid dekulei amalo pligid Rav Chista. Now in a private domain, everyone's going to agree that we're going to agree with Rav Chista that you don't need a place of dalal dalal. Tfachim. That is the second version of Rashi. I'm just going to go with that because the first version of Rashi, it must be that there's a different girsa over here. Because the girsa that we have in Rashi, the girsa we have in the Gemara says clearly, Kuli Alma Rav Chista. Rashi's first version is that both disagree with Rav Chista. So how could that be? So Lemaisa, well, just for clarity, you could try to fit it in, and the Achronim all handle this Rashi. We'll just go with the second shot because it's easier. Again, so according to Rashi's second shot, we're assuming that everyone agrees with Rav Chista, you don't normally need a place of Dalal Dalal Tfachim for a Hanacha. So then what's going on over here? Here, the Rebbe and the Chacham have a different argument. What is that? We actually made reference to this earlier. I think it was on Gimel. So the Gemara says, Elahacha b'ilan omid b'rishus ha'yachid b'notar b'rishus ha'rabim v'zarak v'nacha nofel. So the situation over here is you have a tree that's standing in the private domain and the branches are extending to the Rishus ha'rabim. And then you threw it and it landed on the branches. So the halacha is, what do you hold? Rebbe savar arminan shede nofel basar ikara. According to Rebbe, we assume that we're going to assume that branches are going after the trunk. The ikar is the trunk. So even though the branches are not are outside in the Rishus ha'rabim, we go after the trunk to assume it's a Rishus Hayachid, and you would be chayav. Harambana savay lomer and shadi nofel basari kor. The rabbi said that we don't place the branches after the status of the trunk. Rather, we assume that it's in the Rishus HaRabim. So according to this, if you threw an item, if you threw the rock onto the trunk, which was less than dalad al dalad, even the Rabbanan would agree with a psak that it would be chayav because you don't need Rishus dalad al dalad. The only difference over here is that since the branches are hanging out in the Rishus HaRabim, they're overhanging the Rishus HaRabim, according to Chachamim, we're assuming the way they were explaining the Machlokas right now, according to Chachamim, they would have the status of Rishus HaRabim because they're hanging over the Rishus HaRabim. That's the only point. But if you have something that's less than dalad al dalad in the Rishus HaYachid, Chacham would agree, you would in fact be chayav because it is a dalad dalad. You don't need that. You don't need dalad dalad when it comes to Rishus HaYachid. Okay, continues the Gemara. Amar Abaye Zara Kaveres L'Rishus HaRabim. If someone is standing in the Rishus HaYachid, he throws a kaveres. Kaveres usually, it depends. There's a big machlokas we show them all the time when you say kaveres. Usually, it's a tall. Rashi's over here. It's like a tall round object. However, many times it's shaped like. Why is it called kaveres? It's usually a beehive. So some say because it's used to store honey. Rashi says it over here that was used to store honey. So it's shaped like that. Others say just like the Rav in Mesachas Olos over there. He says it's anything that they used as containers, and that just the name was the shape of it. Others say that it's literal, that it was some sort of thing that was made of artificial beehives. So this is machlokas, but either way, it's some, over here it's clear that it's some sort of basket that it's made of reeds, as we're going to see in the Hemshech of the Gemara. And you throw that from, again, from Rishus HaYach, if you're standing in the private, in the Rishus HaYach, and you throw into the Rishus Rabim, if it's the following. Gavo asara ve'ina rachava shisha, if the basket is 10 tfachim high, but it's not 6 tfachim wide, meaning Rashi points out that the diameter is less than 6 tfachim. Over here, we're dealing with a round object, so we're not dealing with something that has width, we're dealing with something that has a diameter of 6 tfachim. Then, the following. Chayav, you're going to be chayav. However, if it's rechava, shisha putter, if it's going to be since it's tvachim wide, then it's going to be putter because you didn't take an object, because this is its own reshus already. If it's big enough to be its own reshus, then it would not be the Isser of Shabbos. So Rashi points out that why is this Isser? Because on Shabbos, we learn all the things of the Mishkan as we pointed out. Now, what did they throw? When did they have Zrika? It's Rashi points out because when the craftsmen were throwing these needles, that was what they were throwing. So we see that the precedent of the Isser of the Mishkan is only for small objects, but large objects that are their own reshus, according to Rashi, then someone who throws them would not be chayav. Okay? So that is what we hold over here. So the Gemara continues. Rav Amar, Rava says, afilu ein rechavat shisha. Even if the basket is not 6 tvachim wide, and you would assume that it should be chayav, he's still going to say that it's pater. Says the Gemara, what's the reasoning? He says, my time, what's the reasoning of Rava? Because it's impossible that some of the, like, the little extensions, like the sliver out of it, of the reed, is not extending above 10 tfachim. And then would be, if it's above 10 tfachim, we know it's a makam tur. So since one is only chayav when you have an object that's emplaced entirely within that rishus, so over here, since part of it is in the makam tur, you're going to be putter, even if the width it was not 6 tfachim. Now, it's just important to point out, so Rashi says over here that the way that the basket is made is when they weave something. I'm not so clear in the Mesias myself, but when you have the weaving, you have Shesi V'Erev. Shesi V'Erev is when it's a vertical weave and then you weave it horizontal. Someone who knows how to weave would probably know what I'm talking about. So if that makes up the rim of the basket itself is exactly 10 tfachim, there must be a little bit of the reeds that are going to extend a little bit up. That's the metzias over there. And since it's above 10 tfachim, it's going to be putter. Abaye also accepts this concept, really. But he just argues, meaning that really it's a little bit above 10. But he argues on Rava, Rashi points out, he argues on Rava because he's assuming that it's batel. It's insignificant to the basket. And therefore he holds that it's batel. It's not considered its own reshus and makam tour, and therefore, according to Rabbi, you would be putter. So now the Gemara says, Kafa al pia, though. If someone turned the basket over on its upside down, and then he threw it in the Rishus Rabim upside down, so then there's going to be a chilek. If it's Shiva Umashu, if the height of the basket is 7 tfachim and a little bit, then we're going to say that you're chayav. Then the person who threw it is going to be chayav. Why is that? So because the entire basket is resting now, Rashi points this out, in Rishus HaRabim, so you're going to be chayav. So however, if it's Shiva Omechsa, if it is 7.5 tvachim, then it's going to be putter. It's going to be putter. Why? Because Rashi says, it's the din of lavu. The minute I throw it down, and it hits 3 tvachim in the, it's still 3 tvachim in the air. It didn't hit the ground yet. So then we assume that those 3 tvachim can connect and make it up until a 10 tvachim, and then it makes it its own reshus and it considers it lavud. So what's the difference if something is on its, if it's turned upside down or not? Why not when you throw it regularly, do we not say the same thing, that it's lavud as well? When it's Shiva Mechsa, it should be lavud. So Rashi answers, Rashi says, because when the basket's falling down on its upright side, we don't apply lavud because there's no walls. We don't assume that there's any walls. But when it's applying the other way around, then there is like these pretend walls that the lavud would create. So that's the difference between it's flipped up and it's flipped upside down. So the Gemara continues out. So Rav Ashi Omar, afilu shiva mechza chayiv. Even when the basket is 7.5 tfachim, the person who throws it is going to be chayiv. Says the Gemara, my taima. What's the reason that he's going to be chayav according to Ravashi? Mechitzos losochan asuyos. Because the walls are made for the inside, meaning that the walls are used to hold things inside of them. So therefore, the basket's walls are not meant to face downwards, and therefore it's not going to be something that's subject to the din of lavud. Rashi points out, the basket's meant to hold honey. So if it's positioned upside down, it's not considered to have walls over there, because that's not the situation when you would have the basket. So therefore, it's not considered to apply lavud as well in that situation. Okay, so now we said before, on Zayin Amar Aleph, we said that when an object was 3 or more tfachim high, and it's standing in the Rishus Arabim, then its top is going to not be considered a Rishus Arabim. So the Gemara is going to discuss what are the 3 through 9 and 9 and 10. So now the Gemara says, Amar Ula, Amud Tisha Rishus Arabim, if you have a pole in the Rishus Harabim, it's 9 Tfachim high in the Rishus Harabim, V'Rabim Mekasvin Alav, and the public, a lot of times, will, Rashi says, when they adjust their loads, right? They're adjusting their loads on this pole, because it's 9 Tfachim high, so it's convenient. So what happens if you're Zarak V'Nach HaGab, if someone threw an object, obviously we're 4 Amos away in Rishus Harabim over there, so you're going to be over the din of Havara in Rishus Harabim. So it says the Gemara, yes, you're going to be chayav because you did the din of havara. You transported an object 4 amos in the Rishus Harabim, because again, the top of this item has the din of a Rishus Harabim. So it says the Gemara, my taima, what is the reason for this? Pachos mishlosh, because an item that is less than 3 tfachim high, midras darshi l'rabim, since the public walks upon it and it's considered part of the, it's going to be Rishus Harabim. However, mishlosh ve'atish, an object that is 3 through 9 tfachim high, lo midras darshi l'rabim, v'lo ksufi mekasre. The people who walk aren't going to be walking on these 3 through 9, and they're going to be adjusting their burden because it's very convenient to do it in 3 through 9 tfachim. It's too short. So then what would be the din? Bepashtus, it would be a karmelis then. It would be an iser of a karmelis and an iser derabanan. Now what about Tisha? If it's exactly 9 tfachim high, then vade mekasin olav, then people are definitely using it to adjust their loads, and therefore it's going to be part of their shus harabim. That is what we assume over here. So the Gemara now says, Amar le Abaye l'Rav Yosef, Abaye asked Rav Yosef, Guma mai, what is the rule about a hole that's 9 tfachim deep? Is it going to have the status of a shus harabim because people occasionally use it, or not? And Rashi points out, again, Rashi points out, he says that we see by Rishus HaYachid that a pit that's 10 tfachim deep has the status of Rishus HaYachid. So by S is the same thing true when it comes to Rishus HaRabim. Meaning that if it's 9 tfachim high, do we consider it as part of the Rishus HaRabim? Or do we assume, meaning just like we see when it comes to a thing that's 10 tfachim high, or so would we be the same thing about a pit? Would we assume it's also going to be used by the Rishus HaRabim, by the people, and have the status of Rishus HaRabim? So now, the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Rav Yosef responded, V'chein Beguma, the same is going to be true for a hole, that it's going to have the status of the Rishus HaRabim. And says the Gemara, Rava says, no, Beguma, Rava Amar, Beguma Lo, that it's not true of a hole. A hole is not considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. Even if people will use it sometimes, says the Gemara, what's the reasoning of Rava? My taima tashmish adechak losrme tashmish. When something is used, not you don't want to use it, but you're forced to because you're in a situation where you have to use it, that is not considered something that's going to be shayach. Because again, you're only doing it when it's difficult and you're stuck. Then you're going to put it there. Then that's not something that's going to be called Rishus HaRabim. Rather, it's going to be a karmelis. So the Gemara says, Rav Ada bar Masna la Rava. Rav Ada bar Masna asked the Kasha and Rava, Haisa kupasa munuchas b'Rishus HaRabim. Someone had a box that was lying in the Rishus HaRabim, Gavoa asava rechava arba, and this box was 10 tfachim high and 4 tfachim wide. Ein metalten lo mitocha l'Rishus HaRabim. Someone is not allowed to carry from something from within this box to the Rishus HaRabim. L'mer Rishus HaRabim l'socha, not from the public domain, from the Rishus HaRabim into this box, because we're assuming this box has the shear, what would make it qualified as a Rishus HaYachid, so that you cannot carry within it. However, pachas mikain mitaltlin, if it is less than this, one is allowed to carry from it into the Rishus HaRabim, the Rishus HaRabim into it. Okay, so the question is, why would this be so? Why is it that it's allowed to carry from here into Rishus HaRabim if we assume you're not normally allowed to carry? We're talking about obviously less than 4 amos also. So the assumption of most Rishonim is that over here the Kli is not large enough to create its own Rishus and its own Rishus, so therefore it's considered Batel to the ground below it. That's what Tosfos seems to assume over here in Divrei Maaseh Amarlei. So that we see over here that since it's Batel, it's considered part of the Rishus HaRabim, so then you'd be allowed to carry less than 4 amos in the Rishus HaRabim over here. So that's the reason that's the general accept. The reason will go over here. So again, you're allowed to carry with less than Rishus HaRamos, less than Dalet Amos in the Rishus HaRabim in this situation. So the Gemara says, so now Rav Ada is explaining again, what is this case over here with the box where you can't carry it and when you can carry it? So he says, my lava seifa. Doesn't this halacha seem to imply that it's going on the later half of the Mishnah, the later half of the Braisa that told us that a box that is less than 10 tfachim high has the din of Rishus HaRabim. So to a hole that's less than 10 tfachim is going to have the din of Rishus HaRabim. Now, what is this going to refer to? It's going to be referring to a hole that's 9 tfachim deep. If it's a hole that's referring to 9 tfachim deep, then it could be that what we're assuming is that it has the status of the Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, it's a kasha on Rava. So the Gemara says, lo, Aresha. Rava was referring to the, Rava saying that, no, the Braisa was qualifying the first din of the Braisa, and it was teaching us that a hole that's 10 tvachim deep and 4 tvachim wide is considered a Rishus HaYachid, as we've seen before. So this Braisa was just formulating that rule that we've seen already, that something that is 10 tvachim deep and 4 tvachim wide creates the status of a Rishus HaYachid. Okay? So then the Gemara says, and this again, the Chiddush should be over here, by a hole as well, that's 10 tvachim deep and 4 tvachim wide would also be in the status of a Rishus HaYachid. So says the Gemara, Esivei. So he had a kasha on Rava from another Braisa. What was the kasha? Niskavin lishbos birshus harabim. Someone wanted to have his makom of shvisa, where he was going to be living literally. What's his makom of shvisa? We're discussing over here a case of, we're talking about over here, a case of someone who wanted to create an Erev. Normally there's a halacha that a person is not allowed to go more than 2,000 amos from where he is currently residing on Shabbos. That's called an Erev, that's called Chumin. However, if a person creates a Makom Shvisa, usually your Makom Shvisa is somewhere you live. However, if you want a Makom Shvisa further, so you can make your Makom Shvisa 2,000 amos from where you live, and then you're allowed to continue, that would be called Eretz Chumin, and then you're allowed to continue even 2,000 amos past that point on Shabbos. That's the halacha about Erev, because you've created your shvisa, you've created your residence in the place that's 2,000 amos away. So now the halacha is over here. If I intended to do this on Shabbos in an area that's in the Rishus HaRabim, okay, so then Veniach Erev Bebor, but I put it in a pit that was adjacent to where I wanted to create my shvisa, then the halacha is the following. If the Erev is above 10 tfachim, then Eruva Erev. Then it's considered a valid Erev because he can take it from the area on Shabbos because he's considered in the same area. Again, the halacha is that you have to be allowed, you have to be able to eat the Erev on Shabbos, to be able to get to it. So if it's in, for example, if I put it, I want it in Rishus HaRabim, and I put it in Rishus HaYachid across the street, that would not be a valid Erev because I'm not allowed to eat the bread in the Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos because I didn't leave it in the Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. So over here, if I put it, the Chiddush over here is if I put it in this pit that's next to it and it's above 10 tfachim, then it's considered a valid Erev and it's not considered in a different Rishus. However, lamata masar tfachim, if you place the Erev below 10 tfachim, then in Erevu Erev. Then your Erev is not valid again because that would be assuming that you're in a different Rishus than your Erev. So now the Gemara wants to explain, what does this mean, the halacha that we said, lamala masar and the pachos masar. What is that halacha referring to? So now the Gemara says, hey chidami, what is the circumstances of the brisa? If you assume that the brisa is talking about a pit that has more than 10 tfachim in it, ulamala, and when you say the lashon of amala, meaning above 10 tfachim, what did this mean? Didali ve'osve, that a person is placing it and raising it up, meaning that the Erev is 10 tfachim above the bottom of the pit, above the bottom of the pit, and you're placing it over there, then ulamata, and then you below meant that you decide ve'osve, you lowered it and you placed it within the 10 tfachim of the bottom of the pit. So then the Gemara says that can't be. Why not? Because mali lamala, mali lamata. What's the difference if he makes it above the 10 tfachim from the floor of the pit, or if he makes it below the 10 tfachim of the pit? Hu b'makom echad v'makom acher. Because either way, he is putting the shvisa in a different area than where his pit is. Because if the pit itself is more than 10 tfachim, then the entire pit is considered to have a din of Rishus HaYachid. So wherever you put it in the pit, towards the top of the pit or the bottom of the pit, no matter what, it's Rishus HaYachid. And you wanted a dafka in the Rishus HaRabim, so you are in the different status than your Eruv. So says the Gemara, that can't be what the Braisa was talking about. So says the Gemara, what is it? El alav bebor delez besar. Rather, we must be talking about a case of a pit that doesn't have 10 tfachim, and then what? Bekatani Eruv or Eruv. And the Braisa is teaching you that the Eruv is valid. Now again, the Eruv has to be in the same spot, in the same Rishus, in the same domain that you are standing in. So what domain are we talking about? We're talking about the domain of the Rishus HaRabim. So if you have to be standing in the Rishus HaRabim and your Erev has to be in the Rishus HaRabim, so when you put it in this pit that's less than 10 tfachim, it is clearly assumed that you are in the same domain, and therefore we are assuming that the pit itself must have the status of Rishus HaRabim, which is a pit of 9 tfachim, which is against Shitas Rava. So says the Gemara, concluding this Raya against Rava, Alma Tashmash Aydechak Shmei Shmei Dazrimish, that someone who's using something in a forged situation, that you don't generally want to put something 9 tfachim deep in this pit. However, since when you're stuck, you use it. We assume against Rava that this is showing you that it is not the same. It does have the same status as Rishus HaRabim, because people would use it in a situation of a Shas Chak when they're stuck. So says the Gemara, no. Rava gave an answer to this as well. Zimni Mishanalei, sometimes he gave two different answers. We had this lesson before, but Abaye also. So they had two different answers to answer this Kasha. So he answers the following. So sometimes he answered the following, that we're discussing where he and the him and the Erev is in a situation where it's a karmelis, which is an Isser Derabanan. A pit of nine tefachim, again, Lashitas Rava is a karmelis. Nevertheless, the Brisa is going to allow you to put your Erev over there because it's talking about a case where you intended to establish your residence in a karmelis as well. So Zerashi, what's that case? So Rashi gives the example of Bika, where you had many fields. So meaning, I put my Erev in a pit, nine tefachim deep, which is a karmelis, but I wanted to go, but the area surrounding it was this open field area. The open field area, which is only a karmelis as well, I am allowed to take from a karmelis to a karmelis on Shabbos. There would be no problem of transferring from this pit of nine tefachim into the karmelis, into this field, so therefore there is no shaila. However, what's the only problem with that? The lashon of the brisa, use the lashon of Rishus HaRabim, not a karmelis. So says Abaye to answer that, says Rava to answer that question, he said the following, but my karle Rishus HaRabim, why does the Brisa call it a Rishus HaRabim in public domain? Meaning, according to him, it should be called a karmelis. So he says, Lefi she'ein a Rishus HaYachid, because it's just coming to teach you that it's not a din of a Rishus HaYachid, it's just coming to teach you la'afuke, to exclude, to you thinking that this area would be a Rishus HaYachid, because a pit of 10 tefachim, maybe you would have thought it's similar to Rishus HaYachid, it has its own status because of the shear. Says the Brisa, no, it's coming to teach you that it's a din of a karmelis. Okay? That is Rava's first answer. Now, Zimna Mishana, Rava give a different answer sometimes. What was that? Hu Birshus Rava the Erev of a Karmelis. The Brisa is talking about a situation where you are in the public domain and your Erev is in the Karmelis. So, meaning that it's nine tefachim. So, and whose shita is this following? Rebbe he. This is the shita of Rebbe that holds the Amar Kol Davar Shu Mishum Shvus. Anything that's an Isser Derabanan on Shabbos to do, lo gazru alav bein hashmashos, that during the period of bein shkiel, let's say, so that's called bein hashmashos, the period of twilight, where it's the sun is set, but it's not yet dark out, so that's a period of twilight. According to, since it's a safek yom, safek laila, it's not sure if it's day or if it's night, Rebbe would allow you to do dinim derabanan, kasafek derabanan lakula, he would allow you to do things that are normally prohibited on Shabbos, midirabanan, during this period, according to Rebbe, he would allow you to do that. I do not think that we paskin like this shita. For certain things we do, but we don't give our blanket hat there. But either way, Rava is explaining that this shita is the shita of Rebbe. Okay, now continues Rava velo sema duchuya kamarchinalach. And don't say I'm just giving you a shvacha answer, like a dochak answer, just to reject you're saying that there's a proof from the Mishnah. But I rather elad davka kamarchinalach. I'm telling you very definitively that my answer is correct. This not because we have a Mishnah that says the following: imay arakak mayim rishus rabbi malach espo zirkan tocha arbamos chayim. If there's this. We have a very small amount of water, a pool of water, and the people, and then it goes through the Rishus HaRabim. If someone throws Arba Amos in there, it's going to be chayav because it's batel to the public domain and is considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. The Mishnah continues. How shallow is the pool of water that need to be in order to be considered part of the Rishus HaRabim? Says the Gemara, the Mishnah really pachos ma'asar tefachim. It needs to be less than 10 tefachim deep. Urakak ma'am Rishus HaRabim halachas bo. And the shallow part of the pool, which the public man goes to, azorik l'toch arba was chayav. Someone who who throws an object at four amos there is going to be chayav. Now the Mishnah just repeated its halacha twice. Why did you just say at the end a rakak mayim shus rabbi malachas was rakak l'toch arba was chayav? We already told you that. Imaya rakak mayim shus rabbi malachas was rakak l'toch arba was chayav. The Mishnah is repeating itself twice. So says Rava the following: Bishlam a rakak trezim. So I understand why you need to tell me the rakak that it's shallow twice. Why? Because one is the chiddush of that it's a Rishus HaRabim is teaching you it's a Rishus HaRabim both in the summer and in the winter. What's the difference? Because of the following, the tzricha. Because if I need the tzricha, so I need to say both cases. Because if you only told me the Mishnah only taught me the case of the summer, then I would have thought that people dafka want. It's not so bad to have the water over there because it's a good. You get a good schwitz out of it because it's hot out. You want to put your feet in the water, so you walk through there. You walk through this little. You're cooling yourself by doing that. However, most of Ashkamim, it's freezing, the Imala, then obviously no one wants to walk through it. Maybe I would have thought that this water is something that you don't want there. We saw before, like Tsoa and things like that, that people don't want there might not be considered part of their Shus HaRabim. So therefore, I needed to teach you both times, rakak, that it's the shallow pool two times in the Mishnah. Now continues the Gemara now. And if the Mishnah had taught me the case when it comes to the winter, then I would have thought, Agav the mint of Mikra Vanacha, since you're dirty anyway, it's very muddy out, right? There's mud all over, it's raining all the time. So then, anyway, what's the big deal if I walk through this pile of water? However, where you're clean, because there is no water on you, it's not raining on you, and it's not muddy, then I would have thought maybe that we wouldn't say that it's Rishus HaRabim, it's annoying, then Tzricha, then I need to mention both. However, says Rava though, but why does the Mishnah tell me that it's a case of going on the water twice? It's the same exact halacha twice, it's no chiddush. So says Rava, it must be coming to teach you the following chiddush. Rather, we're telling you that this halacha is telling you that someone who, when it's inconvenient to walk, that is considered part of the Rishus HaRabim, and it's considered walking through the Rishus HaRabim. However, Tashmish Ayideh Adchak Losh Matashmish, when it's something, using something that the Rishus HaRabim doesn't want to use, people don't want to put something in the pit of Nine Tfachim, something like that, the Chiddush of this Mishnah, emphasizing this halacha twice, is teaching you that using something is different than fundamentally walking. Walking and walking through it, even if Ayideh Adchak is considered part of it, however, using it is not considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. So now this is what we learned from the statement of Rabbah. Says the Gemara, now we're going back to halachas of Akir Vanacha, Amr Rav Yehuda, Hai Zir if you have a bundle of reeds, Rama Vizakve, Rama Zakve, someone throws it up and down, and throws it up and down, you're going to be Lama Chayev Ad Akrele. You're not going to be Chayev until you lift both ends of the bundle. So what are we talking about here? So Rashi says, you're talking about where you lift one end of the bundle, and like you toss it forward without touching the other end of the bundle. So you don't have one time where you're taking the whole bundle at one point. So since you're not taking the bundle at one point, it's not considered, Rashi says, it's lacking an Akira. It's lacking a situation where you're lifting it. And since you don't have an Akira, you do not have a Chiyav. So all the Rishonim asked the Kasha, someone who drags something is over a din of Akira. And he doesn't over there lift it simultaneously. So they point, though, no, but dragging it simultaneously, this answer most Rishonim said that dragging simultaneously is considered part of an Akira. However, here, since you never did any lifting whatsoever simultaneously, you don't have an Akira, that's a Chiddush over here. Continues the Gemara now back to the Braisa. The Braisa said, above him, Nalaf, we said, Amar Mar, Adam Omed Ali Skupa, someone is standing in the area right in front of the doorpost of a house. No, tell me Balabayas. You're allowed, we're going to see, you're going to allow to take it from the Balabayas, from the person whose house it is, Venosinlo, and he's allowed to give you, and you're allowed to give back to him. No, to be Ani, and you can also give to the Ani who's standing in the public domain, and no, Sinlo, or give him. Now the Mishnah asks, what is the status of the Eskupa? Says the Gemara, Hai Eskupa Mai, what is the status of this area in front of the door? Ile Mai Eskupa Rishashram, if you want to assume that it's Rosh Hashanah, then why no to Malabayas? Are you allowed to take from the person who's standing in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid? The person, the Balabayas, whose house it is, how are you allowed to take from him and give him? Ha Mafik Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah, then you're doing Hotzah, you're doing Havara from Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah. The Eli Iskupas Rosh Hashanah, if you're talking about it's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid status, then why is it no to Menani? Why are you allowed to take from the poor person? So you're bringing in from the public domain to the private domain, also an Isser. So what's going on over there? So what's the status? So says the Gemara, Iskupa's Carmelis. It must be that Iskupa has a din of a Carmelis. So then also it's not good though. We are saying that the Braisa seems to imply that it's Mutter Lechachila to do this. So says the Gemara, Sof Yisra Mi'ayita. You're doing an Isser Darabonah and it's not Mutter Lechachila. So says the Gemara, it must be the following. Iskupa Makum Torbi Alma. We mentioned this when we first introduced it, just to have clarity. But now the Gemara finally comes into this answer that Iskupa is considered a makom tur, where it's totally lechatchila mutter to carry from it to Rosh Hashanah Rabim and from Rosh Hashanah Yochid into it as well. Kigon delesle arba amah, but also you have to assume that it doesn't have 4x4 tefachim, because then, and also Rashi points it has to be at least 3 tefachim above the ground, and then otherwise it would be a shayla versus Rosh Hashanah Yochid, so it's not, it doesn't have the shear of Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and it's therefore a makom tur, and also above 3 amos from the three tefachim from the ground, so you don't have the issue of lavud. So then the Gemara says it's Makom Tumel, Makom Tumel, this Rabbi Amma, and that's what we're saying. Now the Gemara says a similar ruling, the name of Yochanan, V'chein, Ha-Dechei Asir, Rav Zimam, Rabbi Yochanan, when he came from Israel, he said the following name of Yochanan, Makom, She'ein Bo Arba, Larba, Tfachim, the B'nei Rishus, Yachad, Rishus, Rabbim, Lekasif, Alav. It's permissible. If the area doesn't have 4x4 Tfachim, then it's permissible for people to adjust their, whatever they're having on their backs, to adjust it in that situation, because it's okay, Vavad Shalei Achliva, but they can't exchange with each other their loads, because that's an Isser of, we said before, Dindar Abba, unless you come to transfer directly from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Really, that should be mutter on a Daraisa level as well, because it's a makom tur. But lest people get confused, then we stop. We tell you not. It's asur midarabanan as well. So that is giving the raya that a makom tur. It's a makom tur. The iskupa. Okay, we'll stop here for Adkan for today. Yisher kach.